Friends, Romans, countrymen, it's Stage Direction with Alice Canton.
Sorry, Alice, I haven't had a lot of culture this week and I missed you last week. So
yeah, look, I'm so glad I could be here to provide that for you. I was feeling somewhat parched myself.
Yeah, well, here we are.
So I'm glad to be here in the studio. But look, I'm not here alone. I'm joined by Joseph Wyckoff from the cast of St. Joan.
St. Joan.
By Bernard Shaw. We were just talking before. It's not necessarily G. Bernard Shaw.
Yeah.
Controversially, which I didn't know.
Yeah.
We're going to go with Bernard Shaw. We're going to use the name that the playwright or the writer wanted to be known as. And that was it. Is this correct? This is what we were saying before.
Yes, that is correct. During his lifetime, he preferred to go by Bernard Shaw.
Yes.
And then publishers, mostly American publishers, just kept printing his full name as George Bernard Shaw.
Yes.
And so no matter which one you choose, the internet will come back at you and say, you did the wrong one. So
I look forward to the texts.
Oh, yes.
Oh, look, they'll be coming through, BFM listeners.
I've seen YouTube clips.
I've seen it.
Anyway, I'm derailing us. Tell us about St. Joan.
I've already read some brilliant reviews of the work, which opened last week at Q Theatre in the Loft, starring the beautiful, the incredible Bronwyn Ensor in the titular role. I love saying that. The titular role of St. Joan, Joan of Arc. How else is she known as?
Joan d'Arc.
She is Joan of Arc in Shaw's play.
Yes.
In French, she was Jeanne d'Arc.
Yes.
But she's Joan of Arc within the play.
Yes.
And Bronwyn is astonishingly good.
Yeah, if you haven't seen her in action, you probably would have. She's been in a bunch of things. I mean, she's bloody good. She's bloody good. What an amazing, meaty role to kind of get your teeth sucked into. Now, this play, this is a play from the 20s, 20... You're saying 23?
Joan's story goes back to 1429.
Okay.
Was when she started doing what she did.
Yeah.
Her two-year blaze of glory.
Yes.
Which ended literally in a blaze of glory.
Yeah.
She was burned at the stake. And then in 1920,
right,
she was made a saint by the Catholic Church. And 3 years later, Bernard Shaw wrote St. Joan.
Wow, I didn't know that. I'm learning something new every day.
Oh, yeah.
So that would be, that's very interesting, because in that way, Shaw was drawing to light or to life a contemporary kind of telling of someone who became, you know, was decided to be acknowledged.
Mm-hmm.
And so the work, it follows presumably not just a day in a life, but her narrative towards that blaze of glory. Is that mm-hmm. correct?
It is six scenes that run a tight and shiny 90 minutes.
Ooh, I love a tight 90.
Thanks to, it was of course written by Bernard Shaw. It was edited by cast member and producer as well, Aaron. I'm saying Aaron Christensen, but it's not. Aaron, I'm sorry, I've forgotten your last name.
Aaron, shout out Aaron.
Yes, Aaron, you're the best. Aaron has edited it down to 90 minutes, and it runs like a rocket.
Yeah, gorgeous. Oh, well, love that.
So, is it set before, during, and after, or which part of the story is it? Is it the whole story?
It begins with, just to sort of give you the thumbnail sketch, in 1429, Joan, who was 17, her job before she started was tending her father's sheep in a little French province.
Sounds dreamy.
She went to the local liege lord and said, Saints Catherine and Saint Margaret and Saint Michael have told me that you need to give me a horse and men.
Yes.
And soldier's clothes, because I need to go to the Dauphin and get him crowned king and win the Battle of Orléans.
And they went, yo, sis.
And that's the astonishing thing about it is, throughout her entire career, this girl who has no connections and no grounding to ask for what she's asking for, convinces all of the people along the way to follow her.
Yeah.
And she does get the king crowned, and she does win the Battle of Orléans, and then about 8 months' worth of battles after that, before she's finally captured by the English and the Burgundians, who take her away where she's interrogated by the Inquisition. And yeah, sure, her whole run was from 17 to 19. She never got to live to her 20th birthday.
Mm.
But the six scenes are basically the various steps along the way, yes, of that first ask from Robert de Baudricourt to that battle at Orléans to the crowning at Reims. And then the final scene is the trial of her before she is sent to the stake.
Wow. Yeah. Well, it's interesting to make a choice to present a work like this in 2025, Our Lord and Savior, where, you know, presumably, and actually before we go on to the studio, we were just talking about, like, look, there's so much stuff that needs to be put on the stage at the moment. Like, we've got, like, original work, we've got original work to be presented by original people, we've got premieres, we've got international works, and to revisit old works can sometimes be a bit tricky because you're kind of go, but why now? This is sort of the queen. So I'm going to ask you, but why now? What is it about this narrative, this story of Joan, that do you think has, one, has prevailed to this point, and two, is why you're choosing to put this play on in 2025 in Tamaki Makaurau? What is it?
Our director, Grace Augustine, who's done just an astonishing work in getting this to its feet.
Mm-hmm.
I think that their rationale was it does have such a modern resonance to our entire ensemble around Bronwyn, around Joan, is men.
Mm.
We are six men. Each of us plays at least three characters, and we create the world around Joan.
Mm.
And that's terrific as a theatrical experience, but it really does bring home a woman working to get things done in a world that does not want her to be getting things done.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That feels very modern.
Mm.
The Hundred Years' War that the play takes place during, where you constantly have a foreign power trying to encroach on a native population, that feels incredibly modern. And there are lines that just make the audience laugh because of how resonant they are now.
Yes.
And, you know, credit to Shaw and credit to him for... It often tickles me when people talk about it. It's a very wordy play. Well, yes, the words are the point.
Mm,
words
are
great, and they're clever, and they're dynamic, and they make you feel things.
Mm.
And all these years later, here we have modern audiences who are at those words and being brought to their feet
by those words. You know, it is, and I think maybe there's something in playwriting that we've moved away from the word as, or the text or the spoken word as being a kind of a, if we think of the way we privilege certain things in the theatre, you know, the words, and then, you know, you've got the visual elements, now we've got really flashy things like projection and stuff like that. There's a whole lot of things. And look, not to say that we should not privilege those other things too. They're important too. But there is something to be said for the crafted word and that being on the stage and people having access to ideas through this really considered text, right? Like it's really, you know, and... again, it's sort of, if it's survived, presumably it's because it sustained... I don't know, lots of book burnings and other terrible things that have happened over the century.
Yeah.
But is it a play for those sort of connoisseurs of the spoken word? Like, what, you know, who is it for?
I would say if you love a well-written word, absolutely.
But I
also think that... there's the tendency sometimes to frame it as spinach. It's like, it's good for you. You should go to the theater. It's good for you.
Yeah.
This is more than just good for you. It is delightful. It is moving. It is funny at points. And I really do feel like just about anyone who likes a ripping good yarn will enjoy St. John.
I love that. Do you do... Here's a curly one. It was not really curly. Do you do French accents or is that like a no-no? Are we sort of like, no, you're not allowed
to
do that?
That's the last one I think you're allowed to do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can hopefully, can you still do, I mean, is it, are there any bad French accents?
No bad French accents. I'm sorry to disappoint. No, well, the thing is, it is most of the characters are French.
Yes.
And so it doesn't make any sense to have
to
those French accents.
Yes.
So the French people are Kiwis.
Oh. Oh, I love that.
You know, ordinary people like us.
Yeah.
And then it's the Englishmen who are the weirdos
with their
funny accent.
Yes, gorgeous. We love a funny English accent. So, we can still do those.
So, I say that as one of them during the course of the play.
Yes, tell us about some of the characters that you play in this.
Oh, gosh. I play three different characters. I think each of us, I said before, plays at least three. And again, credit to Grace. Those three characters are pretty diverse for all of us. The first character that I play is Roberta Poulanger, who was an early follower of Joan, who convinces that liege lord Baudricourt to let them go.
Yes.
And he, historically, there's all sorts of stuff that delights me that never makes it onto the stage.
Okay.
But it's great for me because it's in my heart when I'm performing it. Poulanger did stay with Joan for most of her career. And
he was a fan. Great. He was a stan, I think you would say.
He was a stan. And then I play... Georges de la Trémouille, who was a nobleman for the Dauphin, who was not a fan of Joan. Joan sort of disrupted the nice little corner of the court that he had roped out for himself.
I see.
Very self-interested, and I think he's listed in the play as an arrogant wineskin of a man.
Wineskin. I'm going to try use that.
Yes.
Great. Arrogant wineskin of a man. Gorgeous.
And I spend the majority of the play, though, as a character that is listed as the chaplain.
Ooh.
And he is an English chaplain who is thoroughly devoted to getting Joan burned.
Oh my!
It's all because of you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm not all because of me, but I certainly represent that side.
Yeah.
You know, it's quite crazy as I'm thinking about. Like, she got burnt at the stake. Like, that's crazy. But it's also crazy that she convinced a whole. I'm using that word liberally, but I'm using it in a way that's reclaiming the word crazy. Because don't some people think maybe the voices that she heard, she may have been hearing those due to her neuro complexity, one might say. And as we're talking about this now, I think there's something about the prevailing human spirit that she was like, I need to do this thing. You guys need to help me. And they were like, yeah, sweet. Off you go.
Whatever got her there, yeah.
Yeah.
Someone's texted in, whether they're joking or not, I don't know. I mean, I know they're probably joking, but the sentiment says maybe she's come back to do more work as Greta Thunberg. So, like, you know, who nearly got burnt at the stake the other day.
Yes,
that comparison has been made more than once.
Yeah.
That is interesting, isn't it? There's a modern... I want to say she's a modern Joan Arc, but I don't... Because I don't want to infer that she's going to get burnt
at the
stake.
Yeah, the ending isn't so great.
But there is something to do with, like, those that have a sort of a pureness of spirit who desire to do good in the world and, you know, I don't know. I mean...
It's interesting, from the 1400s, there are a lot of things in the 1400s that there's just no record of them.
Right.
Joan, on the other hand, there's a huge amount of accounts of people who saw her and what she did and wrote it down.
Yeah, right.
And it's really, if you read the trial record, because the inquisitors wrote it all down.
Mm. I love that due diligence.
For a 19-year-old... She is so self-possessed.
Yeah.
She is so eloquent.
Yes.
In representing her case.
For a shepherdess as well. Shepherdess, I guess, is what you call it, nonetheless. Would they be...
Shepperson.
We call them shepperson. Yes, this one. Gosh, we could talk about this for forever, but the most important thing is it's a play. And it's a play, and it's being put on at Kew Theatre at the moment. There's been a week of shows already, hugely well-received from your audiences. You've got a week of shows to go. So running from, you got a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday?
We are July 2nd until July 5th, so the Wednesday to Saturday.
And you've got to go. Yeah, I just think there's a couple of reasons why it would be unique and important to see this work. One, you just don't get to see the classics. They don't happen all that often, and when they do, sometimes you're going to be like, but why? We've just talked about it for the last 10 minutes. And two, Bronwyn in her role as Joan, a lot of people have been talking about how moving the performance is from her.
Off the top of my head, Theatre View said funny, heartbreaking and urgent.
Ooh. Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, those, that's a good collection of words. Mm-hmm. Heartbreaking. Ooh, yeah. And you were saying audiences are moved to tears.
Absolutely. I can't say enough about how this ensemble really has become its own little army. And we would follow Bronwyn just about anywhere.
You know what, Bronwyn, if you're listening, I'd follow you too. I know, yeah, also. Yeah. Here's an extraordinary fact about Bronwyn. I hope she doesn't mind me saying so. It's like, while she's being an actress and an actor and doing all this extraordinary stuff, she also just, like, went to law school and just, like, became a lawyer. Just, yeah, in the background. Like, who does that? So there's perhaps something prevailing about Bronwyn's spirit that we get to experience in Joan. Joseph, so amazing to talk to you about the show. It's
I'm intrigued.
I know.
To the point of fascination.
Yes.
You should come.
There's some peaking of interest, one might say. You've only got four more opportunities there. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. This week at Q Theatre in the Loft. We love the Loft. Mm. It's intimate. It's fun. There are so many different ways you can kind of be in there. Q's fun. They've got a great bar. You want to go there a bit early, get a little drink, have a little nibble at the bar. Lots of stuff kind of going on. But also, look, it might be raining. We were saying this before. You know, Aucklanders love to, like, not go out when it rains because they're like, oh, it's a bit gloomy out there. Go out to the theatre.
Theatre's a great place to be when it's raining.
Yeah, right. There's some great stuff. Yeah. You're inside, guys. Like, grow skin. So you got to see the show. I had the privilege of going to Taniwha last weekend. Mm-hmm. Another great show, Silo Theatre, doing at the Herald Theatre. So there's a lot of good stuff happening on around the traps this week. Yeah. Yeah.
There we go. Oh,
and I should just say you can buy those tickets at qtheatre.co.nz.
Pointedly, yes.
Go.
Good. Wonderful. Well, thank you for coming in. And I think there'll be some eager BFM listeners in those theatre seats.
Gorgeous.
Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Wonderful. And I'm going to be a nerd and play a song called Joan of Arc after this.
That was Stage Direction with Alice Canton.